Hello, everyone. This is Greg, your host of Goddamn GameCube. Welcome to Season 3. If you enjoy listening to our show, consider subscribing to us on YouTube for exclusive video content. Thank you and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Beppy are your hosts today. My brother Nick has joined us as well, and we have some special programming on the show. We just got out of the theater. We just saw Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, and I don't know if we saw a different movie than the rest of the world, because this movie rocks. It seems like the entire world hated it, but we're going to discuss it. Beppy, why don't you take it away here, because I think we are going to have some contrarian opinions compared to the internet and the rest of the world. So
Yes. We're not getting paid by Sony or Capcom here. I'd like to clear the air. Very, very positive. If you're a fan of Resident Evil or B-movie horror, I would definitely recommend this movie, just before we get into spoilers and all that stuff. So basically, to kind of describe my emotional journey with this movie, I had like a little bit of hope because the director, Johannes Roberts, I believe, forgive my pronunciation if it's not right, he said he was drawing inspiration from the tone of the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, well, that's a start, mm-hmm. You know, I saw the cast start to come together. There wasn't a lot of buzz, and I was like, all right, so it's probably going to be a little low budget compared to what maybe people want, but I think they learned how to use it very well. I feel completely alone in this world where I'm seeing some like apologia for Paul W.S. Anderson's movies.
Yeah, dude, come on. Wait, what was that review that we just read?
It was basically saying that it starts to miss... You start to miss the his vision, and that they were actually diamonds in the rough. I believe this was the AV Club review.
So you're telling me the AV Club review hated this movie, and they said the Paul W.S. Anderson Resident Evil movies were a diamond in the rough.
Listen, man, like, we saw these movies a long time ago. Beppy, you just saw them recently. We can all agree, these are not diamonds. Those movies were the rough.
Yeah,
okay?
They were the rough.
I'd like to just briefly, for contrast, mention my experience with those movies.
Please.
I happen to love bad movies. We're big room fans here still. There's a lot to love, even though all the memes have been kind of wrung dry.
Sure.
Love Neil Breen, all that stuff. These movies... It just made me mad.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sure to Paul W.S. Anderson, they made perfect sense. So there's six of them, mm-hmm. right? Have you guys seen all of them?
Yes.
You've seen all of them? Okay. So basically, like, the first one felt like laser tag to me.
Yep.
Like, very, very cheap production value. Sure. Incredibly cheap. It really veers off the rails very quickly. Mm-hmm. You kind of get Raccoon City in the second one, and then the third one is just kind of like a wasteland. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I'm like, where do you even go from here? And I think the fourth one is the one where it really goes off the rails, where they're on that boat.
Yes.
And yep. The ruins of LA.
I mean, the Paul W.S. Anderson movies, like, how can any reviewer look back on those and say they were like a diamond in a rough movie? Those movies decimated the source material. They were completely stupid. You have like, you just have characters running up walls, and you do a bunch of superhero action-y stupid. They're fucking terrible.
Well, just not why people like Resident Evil.
Exactly.
At all.
Not at all.
You know, like, I get like wanting to do your own thing, but why call it Resident Evil other than to sell tickets? You
know that's what I mean? All they did.
So the five was the one with the pods where they had the like underground, like, we're going to do experiments on city, like, unbelievable. Like, they built Moscow underground and stuff. And the last one, I don't even remember anything about. Other than it sucked. So basically, like the bar was pretty low for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone saying that those movies are better really needs to get their head examined.
I think I mean, one, yes, I agree. Two, the only review I saw that said the old ones were better is the AV Club. I don't know if there's any others out there that said the same thing.
I believe
thing.
Slash Film said the same thing.
What the fuck?
That's crazy.
That's stupid. Like, I typically like the AV Club, but whoever wrote that review, you fucked up. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Oh, my God. So
go ahead.
So basically, my expectations are really low for this.
Yeah. Going into Welcome to Raccoon City, the latest movie, I had no expectations. I think, but you and I, Beppy and I, we talked about this a lot. We said, I just want to see the first and second movie on screen. Like, give me the plot and
game.
Just act it
first
out.
First and second
the
game.
I want to see the first and second game on screen. And when I think you sent me a message about a year ago and said, dude, they're doing it. I said, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. And we're going to get into all the details, but I don't know what else I could have asked for from this movie.
Yeah.
They gave me the first and second movie combined. They made Raccoon City feel lived in. I thought there was a lot to like about this movie.
Yeah.
That's why I said in the intro, did we see a different movie?
Well, I want to, make it clear that this is an adaptation. There are liberties taken that I thought worked in service of the story.
Most of them did.
You do get a little bit. Something I just wanted to start out with saying is that this movie is for the most part, very well paced.
Yeah.
Really, really takes its time to and kind of builds the suspense. Before everything really pops off, it gets a little too fast paced towards the end for me. I would have liked to have seen more of the mansion and the police department, but it's a less than 2 hour adaptation. They can't squeeze every little room out of it, every little character. I mean, I don't know how well this movie's going to do, but I really hope there's a sequel so we can see some more of that.
I do too. I think I'd like to get into all the details if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So, the way they kind of had to make this happen is they kind of had to make up a little backstory for Chris and Claire Redfield.
Mm-hmm.
They had to make up a story where Chris and Claire were kids in the orphanage of Raccoon City, because I believe, because if you're trying to put the first and second game together, you can't.
Yeah.
Because Chris Redfield disappears after the mansion incident and Claire comes in Resident Evil 2 to find him.
Right.
But now they exist in the same film.
Yeah.
So they kind of start you off with almost like a backstory scene where Claire is in an orphanage,
mm-hmm.
and then you think you're going to get a zombie right away, but you get Lisa Trevor,
yeah,
which was amazing. Like, and
very well done. Very.
Yes.
We were getting rowdy before the movie started.
We were getting rowdy.
And then you kind of almost instantly just get sucked in by how much care they're taking, how
yes.
slow it's, kind of leading you in.
I think that intro scene was when I thought to myself, guys,
wait a second.
this was supposed to be bad. I saw that
movie?
Intro scene. I was like, wait a minute. This is suspenseful. This is a little spooky.
Yep.
I'm a little scared here.
The other stuff I thought they did really well. You don't see gun to zombie for 40 minutes.
It takes a while.
It takes a long time for there to be any killing whatsoever.
It's a good buildup. I liked it a lot.
It takes a while.
That whole, very kind of tastefully done, where they don't really show too much of Lisa.
Yeah.
She's in this tent in the orphanage.
Yep.
And Claire is going to go. It's shown that Claire is kind to her for whatever reason.
Yep.
I'd be scared out of my fucking mind. But
right? If I was a 6-year-old in an orphanage.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous. They kind of, she shuts off the light right before you get a good glimpse of her.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Because it's really teasing you a little bit with it.
And when it comes to other characters, you want to talk about casting a little?
Yeah, let's get
so
into that.
I think the casting is interesting. Because I think I actually really like the portrayal of most of the characters.
Yeah.
Even if my vision of what those characters should look like, I think was kind of a 50-50 job.
Yeah.
By these people. Like, do you want to talk about maybe some of the characters you liked, or you liked the casting effort?
Yes. So as far as casting goes, in terms of pretty much faithfulness visually, Chris, I thought was great.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Irons,
mm-hmm.
and William Birkin.
Yep.
Pretty spot on. I wanted to mention the guy who plays Leon in this movie. He doesn't look like him, but I thought he did a great job capturing that actor. That character.
Yeah, for sure.
I believe, pardon my pronunciation here, his name is Avon Yogia, something like that. That's the man who portrayed Leon.
It's like, I thought he looks nothing like the Leon from the games.
Right.
But what they did a really interesting job with his character,
yeah,
where they really portrayed him as kind of a bum rookie,
yeah,
where like he sucks.
Yeah.
And you know, he was either a bad cop or he was crappy in training. So he got sent to the Raccoon City Police Department because he sucks.
Well, my takeaway was that because he's getting lambasted pretty early in the movie,
yeah.
And that his dad is somehow connected to the police, and like pretty much maybe he got railroaded into being a police officer maybe by his dad, or pressure, expectations, etc. And I thought that was just like a really cool spin on the character. Like, I've seen a lot of commentary about how some things aren't faithful, yeah, when a lot of it is. But the things that aren't faithful, I think, are generally pretty good.
Yeah.
And make the story better. Like, kind of consolidating a lot of plot points and characters to make them feel, like you said, like Chris and Claire don't meet until Code Veronica in the main series. So you, it's like you have all these characters who kind of know each other, but in the games you don't really see that.
What I actually thought was really cool, how like in theory, Leon and all the STARS members should know each other. They should know of each other because they work in the same building.
Yeah.
And in this movie, they try to put it together where they're all kind of together in the diner.
Yep. Very briefly.
What I thought was really cool that I liked, can we talk about the truck driver?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I thought was really neat is instead of Claire riding in on a motorcycle, they have her hitching a ride from the truck driver.
Yeah.
And they did a really cool spin on the scene where, yeah, you still get the iconic shot where the truck driver hits the zombie girl.
Yeah.
But the zombie girl doesn't bite him. Mm-hmm. The zombie girl walks off. Claire and the truck driver get back in the truck. And then after Claire gets dropped off by the truck driver, his dog bites him.
Yeah, because the dog was licking up her blood.
Yes. The dog was licking up the zombie girl's blood.
And that was actually something very early on that I was drawn to, is that...
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
I'm so like burnt out on zombies now.
Yes.
And this was, I feel like, made them scary again for me. And like, you see that shot where, because the zombie that he hits gets up and wanders off into the woods, and you just barely see her silhouette in the distance. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's spooky.
Yes. You know? And like, what I really liked about it too was they did such a thoughtful like job with zombies in this movie. What I really liked is they sort of portray Raccoon City as this almost like it's not a mining town, but it's almost like those stereotypical mining towns that are owned by a corporation.
The town exists because the corporation is there.
Yes.
And then also kind of, you know, perhaps like a, you know, like we have a lot of old mill towns up here.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And, you know, that industry kind of collapsed, and Raccoon City kind of has the same vibe. And I did want to mention very briefly that I really liked the look of it, because they were clearly operating on a budget, but it looked so, because you get a lot of wide shots of the city.
Yeah.
And it looks very like fantastical almost. Mm-hmm. And that's what I am craving. Like I kind of, sometimes Gotham City is portrayed in this way, like in Batman Begins, where it like it doesn't, like it's clearly a modern city, but it's something about it is a little larger than life, or even smaller in this case.
And something I really liked about the city is you finally get a little bit of a glimpse of what Raccoon City feels like to live in.
Yep.
Because the story of this movie is Umbrella is moving out of the town.
Yeah.
And so the town is poor. There's a lot of poor people. There's a lot of like
going to be no jobs,
low income housing. Yeah. A lot of people who are unemployed. And when Claire gets dropped off by the truck driver. She goes into Chris's house, and Chris kind of lives in a dump.
Yep.
His neighbors live in a dump. I want to talk about the neighbors too.
Yeah.
They do. If we're talking about the city and the zombies specifically, what I thought was really cool about this movie is the T-virus was spread through the water, like it was a water contamination issue.
Yeah.
It kind of, I think I whispered to you during the movie, I said, this is kind of like an Aaron Brockovich sort of plot.
Yeah, or even like Flint, Michigan.
Yes, or yes. Flint, Michigan, where everybody in the town has been drinking polluted water.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go on for a bit here. What I thought was really cool, the zombies are losing their hair.
Yeah.
Or like the people are losing their hair. They have like cuts or wounds.
It's like the bartender, her eyes bleeding.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, I don't know, it's been happening for a couple of weeks. Couple weeks here. Like,
But I thought the visual look of the zombies was so cool because it really brought back Flint, Michigan, or oh, it's in the water supply and they're scratching their hair out.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's like it feels like either negligence or they, you know, were experimenting on purpose because sure. These people were poor. Yeah, the atmosphere was really incredible. I should also point out that this is very clearly influenced by like John Carpenter.
Yeah.
Like it uses the exact, I don't know what the font is called, but it uses the exact same font as his movies like Escape from New York, mm-hmm. The Thing, Assault on Precinct 13, They Live, all that stuff. And the atmosphere was like incredible. It all takes place over one night. And like you keep seeing the time pop up. And like early in the movie, it says it's 6 a.m. Raccoon City will be destroyed.
Yep.
And it's just inching closer and closer to that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That
cool.
was pretty cool. And you know, there's one thing about when you were speaking with the zombies. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe they called them zombies throughout the whole movie.
No, they don't say the word zombie
I don't think
at
they
all.
Do. So, I mean, are they zombies? I guess technically they are, but they never call
all
them
they
zombies.
They say is Chief Iron says, if more of them show up.
Yeah.
Right.
You never call them zombies. That was interesting.
Yeah. Like, and the adding to the atmosphere, it was the score I thought was incredible. It was a lot of those like kind of hazy, verby synths.
Yep.
And it's just kind of, even when you're not building like the tension of the horror that's about to unfold, it's kind of like a somber atmosphere. Like just like look at how they treat these people. And
what I'd love to talk about next is like maybe when the plot starts moving, like the siren goes off in town.
Yeah.
Like it, so how it works is, you know, Claire shows up at Chris's house. They have like kind of a goofy interaction. Like I guess Claire hasn't seen Chris in a long time.
Yeah.
And Chris is getting ready for work. Mm-hmm. And a giant, almost like, I don't know what you'd call it, like almost like a tornado warning siren
like
goes off.
Like the Silent Hill one a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's a siren off saying, stay in your homes. Clearly there's been an outbreak of some kind.
Yeah.
And you kind of get mild chaos where people are trying to leave their houses. Claire runs into the neighbors who are starting to turn into zombies.
Yeah.
That happens. Do you want to talk about Chief Irons a little bit? Because he was really funny.
Really incredible. And this is kind of, I get what they were going for, and I think they nailed it, is that it's a kind of like an 80s camp movie where you get this like intense character actor giving this huge speech, and everything he was saying was genuinely really funny.
Yeah.
And it was just like tearing people to pieces. And I like that he was like as much, maybe not as much of a piece of shit, but he was pretty, pretty awful.
Like
guy.
In his opening scene, he's essentially up in the Starr's office telling people, "There's, you know, we can't find these guys who went out to explore Spencer Mansion. Get ready, you fucking bums!"
Yeah, yeah.
And he tells Leon to just go back.
What are you doing here?
It was so funny. Well, you called everyone into the staff meeting. Not you. Who's gonna man the front desk? Get the fuck out of here. Because it's his first day on the job. Right.
Really funny.
They treat Leon like shit.
They really do.
It's like so funny.
I did want to mention that was something I noticed around then, is that it was clearly budgetary, but I liked that it was even smaller than it is in the games, like Raccoon City, the police department, everything. Very like there's clearly like 10 people who work for RPD.
Right. Yeah, it's not like this giant police department. There's like a bunch of bum cops who work there, like eight or 10 people.
And it's like, it's a little odd that they have like a full special forces unit, but it's, I mean,
they're
I don't
the
know.
Best they
no, actually, they make a joke about it. They
oh,
say,
really?
What, they haven't decommissioned the helicopter yet? Not yet. Or something like that. Because they're running out of money.
Right, I do like that, because it's like, why would a town like Raccoon City have a big police department? It wouldn't make any sense.
Well, they wouldn't anymore, but they haven't cut the funding yet.
Well, that's yeah. And it, yeah. It's portrayed in the games as being much bigger and more modern. This is actually, I did want to mention that they are very like hammering home that this is set in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because like the remakes did that too, and neither of them really had to, but I like it. I like that Resident Evil is inherently a 90s setting. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, there's a guy playing Snake on his phone, and
there's a Palm Pilot.
A Palm Pilot, and a lot of the musical cues.
And Claire tells Chris about a chat room. He goes, "What the fuck is a chat room?"
Exactly.
It's where people talk on the internet. It was really, really funny. What I thought was really cool, too, is, like, they did so many little tie-ins to the game that, to me, were not offensive at all. Claire talks about Ben, the guy who the players, if you play the Resident Evil 2, you meet Ben in the jail cell.
Yeah.
But Claire is watching a videotape of Ben sort of being a whistleblower about what Umbrella is doing to the town.
Yeah, they've been in touch.
Yeah, they were in the chat room.
Yeah, like she was in a chat room with Ben and she's trying to find Chris. She finds Chris. She goes to Chris's house, tries to show Chris the videotape. He's like, that's bullshit. He's a conspiracy theorist. But oh my God. And, you know, and they, and I really like how the different characters experience zombies after each other. I think Claire sees the first one, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
they don't know what it is.
And, like, Leon has that revelation much later. And something else was also that the thing is, I just don't think that Resident Evil's story or characters are anything close to unimpeachable. I think there's a lot of room for improvement. And so that's why I was okay with them taking these kinds of liberties.
It's not like the plots would hold up under scrutiny anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have Claire, who is looking very closely into Umbrella's activities, and Chris is a lot more kind of
straight-laced,
like, oh, they saved our lives, etc. And it's kind of ties into the opening scene where he's telling her go back to bed and she can't stop investigating
the
mystery.
Orphanage.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool setup for the plot for sure.
So let's talk about Spencer Mansion it was cool how they set up Spencer Mansion too, where these two like sort of random cops, like not important to the game, were going to check out a body that was reported at Spencer Mansion, but they haven't gotten heard from in a while.
Yeah.
And those two cops come to the diner. They're going to get coffee. Right. That's where the STARS members are hanging out. It's not like they kind of set everything up for you. Hey, we're going to investigate a body out in Spencer Mansion. Shake a leg. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, they go out to Spencer Mansion. And then blah, 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 you get to the STARS office and Chief Irons is like, those bums haven't gotten back yet. Fly out there. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
And so blah, 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 they fly out there.
I wanted to actually, before we even get there, mention that there was some, because this movie, I don't want to like belabor the point here, but this movie is getting dragged right now. And I thought there was so much, like, for a B movie, for a low budget movie, there was so much interesting and impressive camera work. And like for instance, there's one part where, and it's all in service of the tone, where Leon is getting left behind in the garage or whatever, and it like slowly fades into the opening of Resident Evil 1 with the helicopter.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, that looked great. And there's like a slow pan along the floor of the garage at one point, and
you get to some of the action sequences, it's pretty cool,
dude.
Yep.
I mean, so we want to get into the mansion reveal was excellent too.
Yep.
How it's kind of like revealed through the fog.
Yeah. And they did something cool where they didn't just throw you into the action. In the intro to the first game, they get chased by dogs into the mansion.
Yeah.
In this movie, none of that happens. They just walk in the front door.
Very, very slow burn. I like that the sort of the chandelier was the focus there, because it always drew my eye as well.
And they do the iconic scene where they, Wesker and Jill go off in one direction and Chris and
Richard
go off in another. Chris and Richard run into the zombie eating the guy, kind of iconic from the first game, and then shit starts to pop off.
Yeah.
You know, zombies kind of come out of the woodwork.
And honestly, like I thought they handled them very well.
Me too.
It was very surprising and scary because I feel like it's hard to have a fresh take on zombies.
Yeah.
And these weren't like fast ones either. They were just kind of like the actual games. They just kind of surprise you. Well, they make really loud noises.
And what I think was cool too is they didn't run at you. They didn't walk at you, but they do lunge at you. And they're almost like medium aggressive.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like, what I thought was really cool too is some of the zombies talk where like they're not quite like fully infected yet. You remember some of the ones that were like clawing at the police station gate?
Yeah, that really affected me because it was very much like They shut the gates. We should talk about that. The trucker arrives first at RPD.
Yeah.
He crashes his truck. And so one of my two like plot gripes with this movie is that it crashes and there's a huge explosion right outside. And Leon is like listening to his music.
He's listening to some 90s.
Very similar to, I don't know if you saw that movie, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, the part with Sam Rockwell when there's a bomb outside and he's listening to his music.
Yeah.
Very similar. But he would have noticed. Like, there would have been a rumbling and you would have noticed that the light had changed.
Sure.
They did that for comedic effect.
Well, he was asleep.
That's
essentially
true.
Leon is asleep at the front desk of the police station. The truck explodes in front of the police station. The truck driver shambles in on fire.
That was one of the really like one of the more surreal shots is just this man on fire walking through the police station.
What song was he walking into? That was really funny.
It was funny, but it was also really cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're like, dude, Leon, wake up, man.
And that's when Chief Irons kills the zombies.
Yes. And it's very much revealed that he knows more than everybody else.
So essentially where you are in the movie now is there are two simultaneous plots going on.
Yes.
Like there's the police station with you know, Leon and Irons, and then there's the Spencer Mansion going on with the other people.
Yep. And that was awesome. And then so Chief Irons has a very brief subplot where he tries to leave.
It's really funny.
And leave Leon in charge of the police station.
You're asking your promotion, kid, or whatever he said.
Oh, yeah. Great. He's just like, really.
I'm sure you'll do great. Yeah, okay.
So I thought this part was actually awesome when he's like stuck in traffic and they can't get out. And it's very much, you can't see a lot of what's going on, but it feels very, you feel the tension. Like you can imagine yourself in this situation trying to get out of a city where shit was going down. And like people are starting to get like gunned down by Hunk is there. But like the umbrella paramilitary service.
And
or
the
whatever.
Funniest part, you and I all of us laughed when Chief Irons couldn't get through border security and then they start gunning down citizens. And he's like,
it's like a Journey song playing in the background.
And like he drives back to the police station.
Right. Oh, yeah. Completely.
He
like
just comes back.
I was like, this is my kind of movie. Like,
dude. And it was so funny because then Leon actually comments, oh, are you in charge again?
Yeah. That was great. Claire shows up at the police station.
She saves Irons, which is really funny.
Because something I was a little worried about, that Irons was just going to die like right there.
Yeah.
He was gonna, I was like, I need this guy to stick around for a little while.
And he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's a good element to have in the midst of all these other heroic people.
Sure. I mean, like we could go through every plot point, but there's some, let's do some touch points real quick that I thought were really cool. They did include the piano puzzle in the mansion, which was really cool.
We should mention Wesker is a very different character in this, but I didn't dislike it.
I didn't either. So Wesker's convictions in this movie and why he does what he does make way more sense.
Yeah.
Essentially, he has to steal the G-virus to get a ticket out of town,
right,
from what I gather. And so he goes to the Spencer Mansion to, you know, get underground to the lab to get the G-virus. So essentially it's his ticket to not get blown up.
He gets a message saying, check your weapons locker. And it says, Raccoon City is going to be destroyed at 6 a.m. These are your options. Like, you can either die with everybody else or you can, you know, steal the G-virus and get out.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like a normal STARS member. He's not like kind of the ubiquitous
evil guy,
weird villain.
Yeah.
He seemed pretty chummy with everybody.
It's
actually
kind of like
he's
his origin
chummy
story, I guess.
I think it makes way more sense.
Yeah.
And so they actually do play the Moonlight Sonata.
Yep.
Like Wesker plays it by watching a picture of like what to
on his
play.
Like Nokia or whatever.
On his, Palm Pilot, which is really funny.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting where I think Wesker and Jill don't encounter a single zombie until that point.
Right.
Because I believe they solved the piano puzzle. I have one issue with this. I have one problem.
Uh-huh.
They changed one plot point that I don't know if I agree with.
Okay.
Where it's a main plot point of the first game where Brad Vickers abandons everybody in the helicopter because shit goes down and he escapes.
Yeah.
But in this one, he gets killed or bitten by a zombie and he crashes the helicopter into the mansion.
Well, I actually realized, because we saw this a couple hours ago, I realized this on the drive here, that was a little bit of an Aliens reference, where the pilot is waiting for the team to get out of wherever. And the alien surprises him and like kills him, or her, I think, in that movie. Mm-hmm. And then like the team is waiting for getting to get picked up. And then the dropship or whatever crashes right in front of them. So I think it was a little bit of that because it had the similar vibe. But no, I mean, because there's, speaking of the characters, like there are some kind of changes, like I mentioned with Wesker. Jill is just kind of like there.
She's not
like that important. She's kind of like a hothead, I guess.
I was going to say, it felt like Claire was more of a main character than Jill was.
Yeah.
And
I
feel like Jill is the main character of Resident Evil 1, the game.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. Also, I think this is the point where like Wesker kind of has to reveal that he's there for an alternate reason.
Yeah.
You know, like Jill's asking like, why are you playing the piano? Why are you doing this?
Right.
The lab opens up. Wesker is going to go in and steal the G-virus. But Jill does not abandon Chris.
Yep.
She goes to find him. And this is where like the movie gets a little action heavy. And I actually thought I thought it was good. Like we were talking about like this movie's getting dragged. Like critics hated it.
Yeah.
They hated everything about it. But I like this action sequence as Chris, where the mansion is totally dark. He has a gun flashlight.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's trying to backtrack. Richard gets fucked.
So Chris is by himself at this point because Richard's been bitten.
Yep.
Chris is, he's surrounded by zombies and he's like doing his best. And the screen is like completely dark and you're only seeing what's going on every time he fires his gun.
You're only seeing muzzle flashes.
And the muzzle flare is illuminating what's happening. And not long after that, you have the scene with the lighter where that's the only source of light. And there's one zombie that I think it's one of the former STARS guys is getting closer and closer every time.
And he has to keep flicking the lighter to see him.
Oh my God.
And they even included the lighter.
Yeah.
Yes. Chris has one. Dude, it's like they thought of like, I don't think this movie was fan serviced in a bad way at all. I think it was really cute.
Clearly like, not, because apparently fans hate it too.
Yeah, right.
I can't believe fans didn't like it. That's crazy. Also, Chris comments, Jill, how are you so good at lockpicking my door to get into my house?
That was Claire, but...
Excuse me. But yeah, Claire.
So that one I could see, if that's your one little gripe. I would like to mention one other story gripe I had a problem with, is when... they're kind of recreating that scene where Leon is meeting Ben in the jail cell.
Sure.
And so basically what winds up happening is Ben is in a cell with a zombie instead of him getting killed by Mr. X or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Leon gets closer to him. He's like, dude, you got to let me out of here. And Leon's like, why should I let you out? Why are you in jail in the first place? Because he's a whistleblower. But so he's getting close to Leon and he grabs Leon's gun, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's pointing at him. He's like, you gotta let me out of here right now. And Leon's like, okay. And he's looking for the key. And then so the guy's like, hurry up, man, hurry up. I'm like, maybe shoot the zombie that's in the cell with you.
You know, but I understand that, but like, would he know?
He wouldn't know.
He wouldn't know that he was going to get bit.
He wouldn't
right?
necessarily know that zombies exist and are eating people. He does know the guy is sick from the water.
However, I agree that if you see someone acting like that in your cell, you should probably shoot him.
You should probably point the gun at them.
Right? The dude's already like falling apart.
I do agree with that part.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
So, I mean, I hoped maybe they would expand Ben's plot rather than him just dying, but they don't. He dies in the jail cell like the games.
I wasn't sure if Mr. X was going to make an appearance. Apparently, there's an Easter egg.
Okay.
That I didn't catch.
Yeah, not that I've been able to find.
So I actually thought the William Birkin plot was handled pretty well.
Yep.
So William essentially gets a call at his house that, you know, hey, everything's gone to shit. You got to get the G-virus. They don't say this on camera. It's implied he has to go, essentially go to the lab, get the G-virus and get the fuck out of town.
Yeah.
So him and Annette and Sherry are all together.
Yeah.
And then they get, you know, into a conflict with Wesker in the lab. And I actually laughed because I liked the way they handled this way better.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was saying about is how they make those characters. Like, whereas I think in the video game, Birkin is shot by like Hunk or somebody, or like one of his guys. And it's like it makes it so much more interesting if you have these characters have this between them. Like what it makes it all like the drama that much more interesting.
Right. And like Wesker just... It's like he gets into a conflict with William and they kind of have a little gun battle.
Yeah.
William gets lit up, but then Annette tries to shoot Wesker and he just shoots her in the face. And
kills her.
It's well, way better. She's so annoying.
Well, like, she is way better. In the game, she's a scientist and this, she clearly doesn't know what's going on. She's just his wife.
And
Sherry doesn't have a lot to do, but whatever. I really, from there on out, I just felt it was a little rushed towards the end.
Sure.
I wish there was a little more time in the police station, because when he said, when they're trying to escape, I really thought they were going to be like besieged.
Yeah.
And it was going to be kind of like a Home Alone thing
for
a second, but I guess they ran out of time or money.
I want to bring this up next, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I thought that they were going to get out through the statue is what
right,
I was going to say.
Right, right. What I wanted to bring up next was the orphanage and Lisa Trevor make a return.
Yeah.
So like the when you sort of get the William Birkin plot, you go back to the orphanage. You have Chief Lyons, Claire, and Leon are together.
Yeah.
And they go back into the orphanage as adults. And there's a liquor in the
So well done.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
Because you don't have like the immediate payoff. You just see the lights shaking above you.
Yep. And
fixtures.
I think Lisa was warning Leon not to shout.
Yeah, Leon was like, hey, guys. And Lisa actually puts up a finger like, shush, be quiet.
Right.
Yeah.
I
felt like maybe there's a missing scene or something. I would love like an extended version of this movie to see, because I feel like Lisa Trevor wasn't really explained in the movie's canon.
I think it's implied that she was an orphan that now lives under the orphanage.
Okay.
I think that's what they were implying, but that's why she's still there.
Yeah. Okay.
And so she warned them. Now this is weird. I thought this was funny, but Lisa Trevor like almost joins them like a Gollum type character. And she, after the liquor kills Chief Lyon, in a pretty like funny fashion.
Yeah.
Lisa Trevor kills the liquor for them.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's like she like literally gets into like a fist fight with the liquor.
She just like chokes it out or something.
She like chokes out the
neck.
Liquor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got like a weird Lisa Trevor has joined the party thing.
Yeah.
This.
It was
like,
really
that's
weird.
Interesting. We were talking about Lisa right after, because I was asking you, you know, what does Lisa Trevor actually do for the plot of Resident Evil 1 the game, aside from being the scary thing in the basement?
She just was
nothing.
An experiment in the mansion, and
right.
She's aggressive.
They gave her a purpose in the movie.
Yeah, they did.
I thought it was like, in terms of purpose, completely correct. So correct me if I'm wrong. The story was that wasn't she like the servant's family or something?
Yeah, exactly.
And then she just kind of gets stuck there.
She
looked great. I was actually kind of moved by the story where, you know, it could have really come off really schlocky and stupid. And for whatever reason, I'm like, oh, that wasn't terribly acted, where she's like Claire or something.
And
at the
like
end.
What I think was, they did another cool Easter egg. Lisa Trevor hands Claire and Leon the keys to the orphanage to get underground, and it's keys from the games.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like you see like a spade key and a sword key and a shield key and stuff.
Yep.
She has like the iconic keys from the game, which was cute.
Yep.
At this point, I believe all the characters meet up in the underground to take the train.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yep.
And they have
Wesker is shot at one point.
Yeah, because William and Wesker exchange some shots.
Well, then Jill shoots him.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So this is kind of where it all comes together, and they get down to the part where they escape on the train.
And it looks like Wesker has died.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where the movie was going at this point, because I'm like, are they going to do like, is Raccoon City actually going to be destroyed? Like, I didn't know if everyone was going to survive.
Yeah. They did keep the canon of the plot intact. Who the people who survive the first and second game do survive the movie.
Yep. I just like that they are all together, so they have reasons to know each other. It's not like Resident Evil 6 where Chris and Leon are like acting like they have this huge history.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, and they also, what I thought was cool is they gave us just enough of the iconic bosses from these games too.
Yeah,
like you got the William Birkin version 2 and 3.
Yeah,
like there is a little bit of a battle with Chris and Claire and William Birkin.
Yeah, on the train.
And I'm saying before, remember he's chasing them in the hallway, and then it's sort of Claire.
He's got a couple. I thought that was going
to
be it after the first one.
And like, you know, they get on the train and they do the iconic final boss battle where they have to kill William Birkin on the train. And then Leon finally gets his moment.
Yeah. He shows up with the rocket launcher.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Found it in first class.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, that was the moment where he completely won me over, because that's something Leon from like Resident Evil 4 would say.
Dude. And it's like
that's my Leon.
I just feel like they did such a good job with Leon as a rookie. He's not going to be awesome. He's probably going to do a bad job. He's nervous. And then, you know, he really is not the hero at any point except the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Where he shoots the rocket.
Cool
off.
Take.
Yep.
Cool
I like
take.
That too.
Before we get too far away from it, I really wish they, because there's some really remarkable practical effects in this movie the CGI so-so.
Yeah.
There is like a really good, like the trucker's dog looks awesome. Mm-hmm. And then later you see like a different dog, I think, and it's CGI and doesn't look as good.
Yeah.
And I feel like a little bit of the last like William Birkin was like so-so.
Yeah, I understand.
But they did the best they could. The liquor looked great. Mm-hmm. I thought that looked awesome.
I thought all the zombies looked great too.
Oh yeah, they did such a great job casting extras instead of having those be CGI.
Yeah, all makeup looked amazing.
They looked awesome. Did you guys like have any final thoughts or anything we missed that we want to touch on? Maybe we should talk about like we loved seeing this movie as Resident Evil fans, but this movie has gotten killed.
Yeah,
like in terms of reviews and in terms of press. What do you want to say in terms of like to people who are maybe want to see it or not?
Well, so I'm not like. I mean, so if I'm considering maybe you've heard our Resident Evil episode, so you know where we stand on the games.
Yeah.
You know where we stand on the previous movies. This is where we're coming from. I came at it sort of with an open heart. I had very low expectations and I was pleasantly surprised. I turned to you during that Chris Redfield kind
action
of like
sequence.
Action scene, and I was like, this fucking rocks. just like seriously, sincerely from my heart. Like I was like, I'm just having a great time.
There was no part of this movie where I rolled my eyes or didn't like it.
Yeah.
I think we may have even said this on our first episode of this podcast. We just want to see a movie where the first two games are on screen.
Yeah.
Like I want to see it acted out. And I have a handful of things. Maybe I don't like how they change Brad Vickers' plot line. Barry is absent, which is unfortunate.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, I really liked how they made the city feel lived in. I liked how the zombies felt like real people because they're still talking and kind of pulling their hair out. And it was really well done.
Yeah.
That's just something I've never really seen.
I felt like that, like it really captured sort of, it's so funny because this is very clearly like a B movie, but it captured like the tragedy of becoming a zombie.
Yeah.
Like you're watching these people just like claw outside the gates for help and they're just like slowly being transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just did want to mention that, you know, I don't know how this movie's going to do financially, but I would definitely recommend it. They tease a sequel in the mid credits. It's a nice little reference to the opening of Resident Evil 1 with the body bag.
Yeah, like if you turn on Resident Evil 1 before you press start, there's a scene of a body bag sort of sitting up, but then someone off screen shoots it in the face.
Yep.
But Wesker's in the body bag.
And he claws his way out. And Ada Wong makes a cameo.
Yep.
And he's like, I just called this. I don't know why. I was like, it's going to be really stupid. They're going to give him his sunglasses. And they do because he's like, oh, it's so bright. And she's like, here. And she hands him. And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Nick, did you have any final thoughts?
Yeah. You know, we were going to get into more of the tie-ins to the games. I don't think we've hit on all of those yet.
Do you have a list of that stuff?
Yeah. So I thought the one that we all laughed at the very beginning is when they're all in the cafe together. And Jill calls it, oh, that's a Jill sandwich now.
Yeah.
Referencing the kind of infamous or famous line from Barry in the original game.
She would have fit nicely into a sandwich.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah. That was pretty funny.
You were almost a Jill sandwich when she gets crushed.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty funny. We also had, a part of Jill's character that maybe we thought was a little strange, where she mentioned two of the bosses, quote-unquote bosses, that you fight in the original Resident Evil 1. Like, she's talking to the guys. It's very funny that it's almost directed at the person that
Richard
happened to in the
games.
Oh,
yeah, good point.
Where she says, hey, would you rather be eaten by a giant snake or a great white shark?
Aren't those the two ways he can die?
Yes, exactly.
That's so funny.
Exactly. So what a good reference.
Amazing.
They also, there's an itchy, tasty reference, too.
Yeah.
They write it, neighbors write it in blood on the glass.
That scene is also really scary.
I was terrified during that scene.
That's why, like, it brought up Aaron Brockovich to me, where when you... Obviously, if you're a Resident Evil fan, you know they're going to turn into zombies.
Yeah.
But when Claire goes into Chris's house, she sees the neighbors in their like kitchen, and she waves at the kid, but the kid is losing his hair.
Yeah.
And the mom kind of shows
clearly
up and
kind
waves,
of out of it. Yeah.
And they're very out of it, and they look sick.
Yeah.
They look ill. Like they look, like they have a sickness.
Yeah.
That was really well done.
And when they break into the house, it's like terrifying.
Oh my God! But the kid.
Oh my God! And when the mom kind of runs at her, what does the mom yell in her face? like she needs help? What does she say?
Well, I think she talks to the kid and she says, "Do you need help?" And the kid says, "You need help."
Right. No, I think the mom screams something at Claire when she dives on her.
I don't recall, but you are right. She
was really cool.
I don't get the reviews of this movie. They're saying it's not scary. I thought it was very effective.
So I picked up one quote that, Greg, I think you were going to take some offense to.
Please.
So the Rotten Tomatoes official, like, critical consensus of this
movie. It has
movie.
Like 22. The Metacritic is like 40 something.
Right. Yeah. The critical consensus says Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City is an affectionately faithful adaptation, but it further proves the source material is ill-suited to the big screen.
Here's why I'm going to combat that quote. I think this movie took that on directly, mm-hmm. where they tried to make Raccoon City look more lived in.
They
tried to make the virus look like it's affecting poor people in the mm-hmm. water supply. The zombies are real people. Some of them talk. You can see them in discomfort. And sure, like all the schlockiness with the rocket launchers and the G-virus and shit is still goofy, but I feel like they finally gave the Resident Evil universe this is a place where people live and they're struggling.
And it also found the proper tone. Like, I didn't even mention, like, towards the end, there's, like, a very 80s kind of schlock movie kind of digital layout of, like, you know, Raccoon City status destroyed, zero survivors.
Yes.
And I'm like, I was charmed by that. And I think it finally, in this way, I maybe would have liked it to be a little longer. But in this way, I think they finally found how to. I was saying to you, it's one of my favorite video game movies for sure.
I mean,
not the competition is great.
Yeah, no. The competition is really bad, but I agree. Like,
yeah.
I walked out of there thinking I just saw a pretty good movie based on a game that I liked.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have anything else to say.
I would maybe give it an 8 out of 10 if I was reviewing it the same way as games.
Nick, do you have anything else to say and you want to give it a grade?
Excuse me, you didn't ask me my final thoughts.
No, I mean, that's... God. Yeah, please go ahead.
Jeez, man.
We were going to.
I'm really third wheeling it over here.
Yeah.
Jeez. No, okay. Now, you both know me very well.
Yeah.
I am not a horror movie fan.
Yeah.
So that's why in the beginning scene, I saw this. I was like, what the fuck? This is supposed to be stupid and funny, not scary.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
My girlfriend actually texted me and said, you know, the one reason I may have been interested in going to see this with you is because I thought you would faint during a horror movie.
Yeah.
And I said, you are probably right. But as someone who doesn't really do horror movies, and I'm not as intimately familiar with the Resident Evil games as
sure.
you are. I sort of am, right? By extension.
Yeah.
And I know what happens during both the games. I thought this movie was very enjoyable. The jump scares were at a minimum, if any at all.
Yeah.
The music was on point. I didn't get any mental image, even from Lisa Trevor, that's going to haunt me in my dreams the next few nights, as they usually do. But
that's good.
Yeah, that's positive take from me. Honestly, I thought this movie was pretty good. That's my final thought.
I mean, yeah, I mean, dude, this is like a B or a B-plus movie for me.
For sure.
Nick, do you have a number or a grade we sign off?
Yeah, let's give it a B. I'll give it a B.
Yeah,
for me. It's a B
I feel
for
like
me.
We're all in consensus here mm-hmm. that it was pretty good. So, I mean, I guess the final thing I'm going to say is that this movie got dragged. This movie got mm-hmm. killed by critics. If you like these games at all, you should watch this movie.
I think time will be very kind to it.
Yeah,
I see
agree.
This director maybe having a promising future, and maybe in the future people will reevaluate it.
No, I agree. And if you think the fucking Paul W.S. Anderson movies are better than this, you're fucking
get
crazy.
Lost.
Get lost.
Yeah, get out of
no,
here.
No, we don't want you here. No.
Anyway, that's going to do it for goddamn GameCube. Thank you guys so much, and go see this movie. Go support it if you're a fan, and we will see you next time. Thanks.